Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the Old Testament reading from Genesis that has already been read from chapter 45. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you've heard it said probably many times throughout your life, God has a plan, right? Maybe someone said it to you recently. It often gets spoken when circumstances get dire, or they're mysterious at least. God has a plan. I heard it just recently on the news when they were talking about the war between Russia and Ukraine, and one of the announcers in the morning news said, "Oh, but God has a plan." Much of the time we don't know what that plan is, nor where that plan is taking us, this side of heaven. And often, that plan seems quite painful. In the past, I myself have been reluctant to say to somebody who is going through some tragic moment to look at them and say, God has a plan, because I'm not always sure it would be taken the way it's intended, that they would hear it as a comforting words instead of some cliche. Is it just some cop-out, or does it actually provide clarity? Is it trite, or is it truthful? God has a plan. Our Lenten journey today continues with Joseph, and it moves closer to its culmination tonight. A theme that emerged from the account is God has a plan. And that plan is often completely hidden from us. We see, hear, and experience one terrible thing, but in, with, and under that one terrible thing, God is doing His thing, which is wonderful. The jealousy and hatred of Joseph's brother led them to do something horrible, despicable. Selling their own flesh and blood into slavery in a foreign land was pure evil. But in, with, and under those very same evil circumstances, God was at work preparing salvation for His people and ensuring the survival of Abraham's descendants, from which the Christ would one day be born. Joseph's brothers had unknowingly been part of God's plan. Today's reading from Genesis tells us of the reunion that those brothers never saw coming. And when it finally happens, when they hear this high-ranking Egyptian official say, "I am Joseph," they must have been dismayed, terrified even, unable to speak because, well, their jaws had dropped to the floor, I'm guessing. They no doubt expected the worst. But in one sentence, Joseph expresses how God's plan, how God's good plan and their evil plan had unfolded simultaneously. "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Joseph told his brothers, "You sold me and God sent me." And our Lutheran sensibilities want to say, well, which is it? Did Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery, or did God send Joseph down that path? Was Joseph a victim of evil, or was he a savior for the starving world? The most fitting answer to all of these questions is simply this: yes. It's not an either or, it's a both and. It is indeed the wonderful, awesome plan of God. God has a plan. And today's readings make clear that at the heart of God's plan is forgiveness. God's plan moves forward and succeeds because of forgiveness. Joseph's treatment of his brothers is a profound lesson in the power of forgiveness. This is what forgiveness looks like. Joseph is now the most powerful man in all the land, and before him are the brothers who betrayed him, down on their knees in need, guilty of great evil and deserving of death most certainly. But what does Joseph do? Through tear-filled eyes, he forgives them. He speaks tenderly to them, comforts and kisses every last one of them. Oh, and he also tells them the good news that God has a plan. Think about it for a second, though. What if Joseph hadn't forgiven them? What if Joseph had done what comes so naturally to ourselves and our sinful nature? What if Joseph had subscribed to the idea that turnabout is fair play and that revenge is a dish best served cold? Or what if he had spoken forgiveness to them, but then sent them back home empty-handed to starve? What if he had imprisoned or enslaved them to make them earn their way back into his good graces? You see, if Joseph doesn't forgive his brothers, God's plan is endangered. God's plan to save the whole world, including us, is jeopardized. How will Abraham's seed secure salvation if the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah comes to a screeching halt because of Joseph? Because he won't let go of the sins committed against him. If Joseph doesn't forgive, then the passion that Pastor Rafa read tonight from Luke's gospel doesn't happen. The crucifixion scene sketched out for us today by Luke is not unlike the scene of Joseph and his brothers. The most powerful man in all the world, the Son of God, hangs from a Roman cross, beaten and bloody, fresh pain coming into his body with every single breath. As Jesus looks down and surveys the scene, his disciples have scattered and abandoned him. The Father has forsaken him, and he is surrounded by sinners who hate him. They mock him, and they eagerly await his death. But Jesus submits himself to God's plan. That plan that was set out to save the whole world all the way back in Genesis 3. As he crushes the serpent's head at a hill called Golgotha. He seeks not revenge on his enemies, but he prays for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus sheds his blood and submits to death for all his brothers and sisters, which includes you and me. This is what forgiveness looks like. God's plan. And this is it. This plan of God for the life and salvation had been underway since the fall. The first parents issued sin and death into the world, and God's plan in Christ was hidden. God's good plan was obscured by evil plans of men and women, people like Pilate and Herod, the scribes and the Pharisees, and all who wanted Jesus out of the way. But make no mistake, our sins, each and every last one of them, were equal driving force behind every nail that went into his hands and his feet. Our sins was the reason for the crucifixion. Still, in with and under this terrible thing, God was doing his thing, which is indeed most wonderful and perhaps summed up the best in Paul's letter to the church at Corinthians in his second letter. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's the best news we could ever hear. It means that we don't get what we deserve, that the psalmist's promise in Psalm 103 verse 10 is true. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Thanks be to God. Like Joseph's brothers, with their guilty conscience and their jaws on the floor, we don't get what's coming to us because of our sin. Our brother Jesus instead forgives us. He speaks tenderly to us through the preaching and proclamation of his promises. He comforts us with the cup of salvation. Our beloved brother comes among us in flesh and blood and serves and saves us. Flowing from this grand plan of salvation is God's plan for you. Yes, God has a plan for your life. Your life is not a random series of events, actions and reactions, causes and effects that end up being mostly meaningless. Far from it. Your baptism declares that God is determined to have His way with you. And His way is always good. We who have been forgiven understand that God's plan also involves our forgiveness of others. A refusal on our part to forgive those who sin against us, well, it hinders God's plan. We get in the way and delay God's work when we don't forgive as we have been forgiven. Better by far to let go of our neighbor's sin. Forgive so that God can do His wonderful work and His plan can proceed without you attempting to hinder it. Is it not trite? It is not trite, but truthful. Not cliche, but comfort. God has a plan for you. A plan that centers your life in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The trials and travails of Joseph remind you not to worry when your brothers betray you or when temptation comes calling. When it seems as if much of your life is wasted or worthless, remember Joseph and his years in prison. We cannot know and we cannot see what God is doing or what He is planning. We can only believe. We can only trust that He is working all things for our eternal good through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that, after all, is everything. That, after all, is God's plan for you, life and an eternal. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.